All right, take your Bibles out. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Hang on here. I'm dying. It's hot in here.
Do you want me to get to stand for the mic?
Yep.
I'm good.
Thank you, though, Brother Barnes. Romans chapter 8. We're going to look at three verses tonight. We're going to talk about the Holy Spirit helping us to pray. Holy Spirit helping us to pray, and I think this will be a huge help to you. Maybe you're new to prayer, maybe you're old to prayer, maybe you don't know anything about this, but I think this will change your prayer life. It sure has mine in many years gone by. Romans chapter 8, look at verse number 26. Likewise, the Spirit, notice that capital S, that means the what? Holy Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. That's an important statement right there. We know not what we should pray for as we ought. Now watch this. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Let's pray, and I'll start teaching. Father, please help me as I teach your word tonight. Make it clear. Lord, I just want to help. I'd like our people to be closer to you. Lord, I'd like them to see answered prayer. I'd like them to be able to confidently say, I can pray. Even sometimes when I don't know what to say, they could learn how to pray. So please help us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the most important things, and if you listen to this, I think I can help you. One of the most important things to learn as a Christian is to learn how to pray. If I could narrow down the Christian life in importance, it would be learning how to get things from God and learn how to get the things that you got from God and give it to others. Those are probably the two most important things. But don't take this the wrong way. Prayer is probably the hardest thing in the Bible to do. It's one of the hardest things to conquer in the Christian life. Now, the word pray is the word ask in the Bible. All right? The word pray literally means to ask. Prayer is not praise. When you say, God, I just want to praise you, okay, that's not prayer. Prayer is not thankfulness. God, I'm thankful for this, and I'm thankful for that. You're talking to God, and you're being thankful, but that's not praying. Adoration, God, you're so good. God, thank you for your love. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your watch care. Those are good things. That's adoring God, but it's not prayer. Some people would use the term worship, thanking God for what he is. You're omnipresent. You're omnipotent. You're all love. You're the source of everything. That's what worship is. Worship is not church. There's no such thing as a public worship service anywhere in Scripture. On our church sign, it says church, evening church, Wednesday night Bible study. You say, why? It's not worship. We don't have a worship center. Worship is what you do in private with God, all right? So prayer is not worship. Prayer is not confession. Prayer is asking God for something. If you were in a courtroom situation, you would often hear a lawyer say, I pray the judge to hear this. In other words, they'll use the word pray as I'm asking you to accept this. Or we pray the court to receive this. We're asking that you would accept or receive this into the court of law. They use that term to this day. Now, once you get saved, as we said, the Holy Spirit moves inside. As we said last week, it's the Holy Spirit that regenerates or regenes us at salvation. It is the eternal genetics. Remember I used the circles? You had God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Then you had body and soul. And then when the Holy Spirit, when a person gets saved, the spirit of man is born, reborn. And it's the spirit that allows us to talk through the spirit to God. It is that which allows us to communicate with God. Now, listen to this very carefully here. One of the most wonderful things that he, the Holy Spirit, does is that he partners up with us as we pray. One of his jobs is to partner up with us as we pray. But there are two major ways that he does that. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. But I want you to notice in Romans chapter 8, we're going to use our Bibles. If you write in your Bible, that's fine. There, you're going to see some things. Now watch this. Likewise, verse 26. The Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh, what's the next word? Intercessions. Now, I want you to circle that word, for us, with groanings which cannot be uttered. Verse 27, and he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercessions for the saints according to the will of God. Now, that word intercession is used twice there, but just so you know, those are two different words. Intercession in verse 26 is a totally different word than the word intercession in verse number 27. And I'm going to explain those in just a little bit here. Now, the disciples, listen to this statement. Do you remember when the disciples heard Jesus pray? They said, Lord, teach us to pray. That's where people in denominationalism get what they call the Lord's Prayer. Now watch this. He didn't teach them a prayer. He taught them how to pray. What they call the Lord's Prayer is nothing but an outline of prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Start off talking to God about how good he is. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. God, I need your will on heaven as in on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, daily needs. It's an outline of prayer. They did not say, teach us a prayer. Saying the Lord's Prayer over and over and over and over and over again is vain jangling, vain repetition. And God said it's sinful. We have allowed that to become our prayer. No, he was not teaching them a prayer. He was teaching them how to pray. Now, the disciples asked Jesus to teach them to pray because they wanted to get a hold of God like Jesus did. Now, watch this. When Jesus left the earth in Acts chapter 1, after the resurrection, he came back for 40 days. He was about to leave. And there before he left, do you remember what he told his disciples? He said, I'll not leave you comfortless. I'll leave you the Holy Spirit. Say, what does that mean? It means he was no longer there to teach them how to pray, but Jesus was going to allow the Holy Spirit to indwell them, and they would have the same indwelling of the Holy Spirit that Jesus had to pray and talk to the Father. That's what the Holy Spirit was for. Now, John chapter 14. Look at that real quickly here. John chapter 14, verse number 8. I'll show you exactly where he said it. John chapter 14, verse number 8. Look here. That's not the right word. 18. Watch me not be able to find it. 14, 18, that probably, yeah, that's what it is if I just read my notes. Okay, look at verse 17. Verse 16, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. Notice the capital C. That he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it hath, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. Watch this. I will not leave thee comfortless. I will come. Now watch this. He said, look, I'm going to leave, but I'm not going to leave you without the Comforter, without the Holy Spirit. And he will hear you because he's not only going to, you've not only received him, but he lives inside you. And he said, I won't leave you comfortless. In other words, he would work with us in the aspect of prayer. Now, let's jump into this here. Let me give you, there's only 2 points tonight, but don't put your shoes on yet. All right. Number one, the Holy Spirit intercedes with us. Okay. The Holy Spirit intercedes with us. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Everybody look at me. There's not a one of us in here that knows everything we need. Not a one of us. We're looking through sinful eyes. The hardest thing to decide is, do I want it or do I need it? Y'all know what I'm talking about? I'm going to use an illustration, Brother Andy. Brother Andy helped us find our new baby grand piano for our new church building. He called me about it. My first reaction was, no. I said, no, even though it was a good deal. Say why? Because I wanted it. I had told my wife and my mom about it and my dad. My wife and my mother said, why'd you tell him no? You didn't even pray about it. Oh, I hate that. I hate when my wife is right. I started thinking about it. What was that? I gave up on that a long time ago. But we're eating over at their house on Sunday, so I got to be nice tonight. So anyway, I did pray about it. The Lord bothered me about it. I called every one of our board members and talked to them the next morning. Told them the situation. Every one of those rascals. So, preacher, when you're writing the check. Oh, I had to call Brother Andy back. I said, Brother Andy, I'm going to show real bad leadership, but is that piano still available? I said no, because it's something that I really wanted, but I didn't know that it was a need. I said, I've talked to all the men, and he said, well, I don't know. Let's try it. He said, if it is, the Lord wants it. If not, the Lord didn't want us to have it, and the Lord wanted us to have it, so we got it. What was that? I couldn't decide if it was a need or a want. God decided it was a need. See the difference? My desire, I had to put aside. I'll show you how I did that here. In this verse, the word intercession does not mean he goes to God for us. Okay? Now watch this. There's two meanings for intercede or intercession. One, which is in verse 26, means he comes to us and intercedes with us. Now, let me show you what I mean. Brother Don, you mind if I borrow you? This way I can keep you awake. If you can just stand there and look normal. Well, you can look like yourself. If Brother Don wants to ask God for something, he has the right to, but watch what happens. Sometimes he's not sure if it's what he wants or what he needs. Let's say it's the piano. So Don doesn't know what to do. Do I ask God or do I not? That's when you go to the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, is this something I need or is it just something I want? Should I take it to God or not? And the Holy Spirit, through the will of God, will show you it's right or it's not. Then you take that to God. That's the next intercession. But he's interceding with us to show us if we ought to talk to God about it or not. Does that make sense to everybody? You can have a seat. I'll come back to that in a minute here. I don't always know if it's something I need. I need the 20-ounce T-bone steak, rare. Chicken livers on the side. Man. Yeah, buddy. Now, wait a minute. Now, is it a want or is it a need? Depends how hungry I am. Now, wait a minute. I can go to the Holy Spirit and he can let me know whether it's a need or whether it's a want. I have a project for our church right now. I'm praying, asking the Lord if it's a need or a want. Personally, I think it's a need. But I'm waiting on the Holy Spirit to reveal if it's a need or a want. And if it's a need, I've told God he's got to supply it. Because I can't do it. It's bigger than what I have. Say, what is that? I'm letting God decide whether it's a need or a want. But I've gone to the Holy Spirit to let him know I don't know whether it's a need or a want. Everybody understand that? Let me break it down to where we live. Let's say I want a different truck. My wife is back there listening, so everything's okay. All right? By the way, I don't. This is an illustration. Let's say I decide I want to ask God for a 2019 F-150 4x4 four-door Super King truck. They're only $65,000 base price. I don't care what color at that point in time. Doesn't matter what color, amen? Now, wait a minute. 65 grand at least. Now, I may need a truck, but I don't need to spend $65,000 on a truck. I'll go to the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, I need a new truck. And he might say, you need a truck. You need a different truck, but not a new truck. How about you settle for a good used one and spend $6,000 versus $65,000? Okay. That's exactly what I did. My daughter bought my old truck. I told the Lord she needed a vehicle, and she did. I said, okay, God, you're going to have to show me something. It's now become a need. I'm not asking for brand new. Matter of fact, I bought one that was a few years older than the one I sold her. But it had much less mileage on it. And I paid $6,000 for it. Now, I know what other people have paid for their trucks, and it was significantly more than what I paid for mine. And the Lord blessed because I waited for the Holy Spirit to tell me when it was time. What, by the way, I looked for 2 months after I made the decision I was going to need to do it. I waited until the Lord said, okay, this is the one. Okay, Lord, do you want this? And when I saw it, I didn't even make an offer. I waited another 24 hours to pray about it again. I went to go make my payment this week. I walked in and the guy said, oh, by the way, since you helped me sell 2 more cars, I just took another $100 off your truck. Oh, thanks. So I made an extra $100 payment this week. It was great. Wait a minute. I asked the Holy Spirit first before I asked God. And that is to make sure that it wasn't something I want only. I want it to match what God wants me to have. You see, just because I want something doesn't mean it's right. I might want to eat cherry pie for breakfast, cherry cheesecake for lunch, and, you know, some kind of cake for supper, and that's all I eat. But you can't, it might be what I want, but that's not what you should pack down the pie hole. Now, wait a minute. Just because I want it doesn't mean it's right. And I've got to decide many times what is the bigger need versus want. Does that make sense to everybody? My wife and I were looking at selling our home, and we were going to purchase another house. We never had plans of building one. I kept driving by that stupid subdivision and saw the sign. I thought, I wonder. You know, you see the advertising. And the advertising was about in the range I wanted to be. I thought, what if I drove by it for weeks. One Saturday after soul winning, I drove by it and I said, I can't take it anymore. The Holy Spirit was saying, stop in here. I don't want to, but I did. I listened to their little spiel and got their paperwork and went, I can buy a brand new home for what I'd have to buy another home and then put an amount of money into it to fix it up to make it like we want. And it probably really wouldn't be what we wanted anyway, but we'd make do with it. And it was going to cost about the same money. Plus, it came with all brand new everything. I said, I got to go home. And I went home. My wife was home. And I said, we got to talk for a minute. I said, you are not going to believe what I'm about to say. I said, are you sitting down real good? She said, you're scaring me. So I pulled out this paperwork and started showing her. She said, nah. I said, how about we take a drive? Let me just take you over and see if you're interested. And then let's do some more research. So we got back in the vehicle, drove over there. And she walked in. She said, I'm home. She said, it's not possible. I said, well, we don't know till we try. But according to these numbers, it's possible. But let's find out what they're not telling us. And we started the process. And thank God for the last 3 months, we've been living in our new house. Half a roof gone right now because of the wind, but that's all right. They're fixing it, not me. Now, wait a minute. It was not what we first wanted. I was going to settle for something else. But the Holy Spirit was asking for something I knew not. And when my will surrendered to his will, then we went to God and said, okay, I think the Holy Spirit and I are on the same page. I think it's time to ask. You say, well, the Holy Spirit is God. Yeah, but he works with us in a different way as the Holy Spirit. Just like I can't tell whether it's a need or a desire for this project. I still don't know what it is yet, so I'm waiting on God to tell me. I'm waiting on the Holy Spirit to say, this is what you're supposed to do. This week, I put just a little bit more with it and said, okay, Holy Spirit. And he put something in mind for it. And I said, all right, I'll work on that. And if that's what you want, that's fine. And we'll see. Now, so I asked the Holy Spirit for what I need or want. And let him intercede with me. Maybe the word would be negotiate. To make sure what I want is what the Lord would want us to have. He knows God better than I do. He knows what I need better than I do because he is God. Everybody understand that? So I got a new truck. A new old truck. I spent one-tenth of what I would have spent had I bought a brand new one. Do I have the right to go out and buy a brand new one? If I can make the payments, yeah. It's not that I couldn't, but it wasn't the right thing. By the way, don't want a brand new truck. Go buy a good used one and get it over with. I don't drive a truck that much to worry about it. It does not justify that kind of money. It doesn't. Now watch this. In other words, I wait for God's timing, and it's not urgent on mine. Do you know I'm not in a hurry about this need right here, if it's a need? Let me show you what I mean. I wait for God's timing, not the urgency of how bad I want it. So, look at Ephesians chapter 2 very quickly here. Second point doesn't go quite as long. So, Ephesians chapter 2. Look at verse number 18. Ephesians 2:18. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. We both. That's that intercession. In other words, when I go to the Father with the Holy Spirit with me, we go together to God saying, this is what I need. Does that make sense to everybody? It's kind of like when you were kids and you got your brother or your sister to go with you to mom and dad, say, mom, dad, we need this. And you come together in agreement. And they have a heart attack and fall over dead. Now, wait a minute. It's a little bit like that. You come together. That's what the word intercede means. It means working together with. All right? In other words, you and the Holy Spirit come to God in agreement, and you're able to get what you want. Go to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. Look at verse number 19. Matthew chapter 18, look at verse number 19. These verses will start making sense if you've read them before. Matthew 18, look at verse number 19. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Two of you on earth. It doesn't mean if Brother Andy and I both agree that I need a truck, I go out and buy a brand new truck. The two of us on earth are me and the Holy Spirit. If I and the Holy Spirit are in agreement, then I can go to the Father. Okay, turn to Acts. That word agree is the word symphony. It's the word, in other words, it's something working together. How many of you... A symphony is multiple instruments performing together for one song. And that's exactly what that word agree means. It's a symphony put together. That right there, this building, this project, this property, that is a symphony of God. It is God putting everything together the right way, the right timing. Acts chapter 15, very quickly. Acts chapter 15, look at verse number 28. Acts chapter 15, verse number 28. For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. Notice, you and the Holy Ghost. And it's talking about a burden there. What do you take a burden? Who do you take the burden to? God. In other words, there's an agreement there that you and the Holy Ghost work together to make that. The apostles were in agreement with the Holy Spirit, and they together were working through this burden with the Holy Ghost. Now, just as the Holy Spirit talks to the sinner as you're soul winning. If I go soul winning, here's a rotten sitter right here. Yeah. And as I'm talking to him, and I'm saying, Joe, the Bible says that we're all sinners. Now, and I read him Romans chapter 3, verse number 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You see that, don't you? And the Holy Spirit starts working on him saying, Joe, what that guy says is right. And then I go to Romans 6, 23, for the wages of sin is death. Proof you're a sinner, you're going to die. Not just the outside of you, but the inside is going to fry in hell like a sausage. I don't say it that way, just so you know. All right? I'm just trying to wake some of you up, all right? And I start talking to him, and the Holy Spirit's talking to the inside saying, you don't want to go to a place like that, do you? Then I go to the rest of that verse. For the wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. I talk about Jesus and what he did for you. And the Holy Spirit saying, Joe, what that fellow's saying is true. It's in the Bible. Then I get to Romans 10:13, that if thou shalt call upon the name of the Lord, shalt be saved. Joe, you'd like to do that, wouldn't you? And the Holy Spirit saying, say yeah, say yeah, say yeah. And the Holy Spirit's working on him as I'm talking to him. We're working in agreement as we go soul winning.
Yes, sir.
Now watch this. Just as the Holy Spirit does that as I go soul winning, he can be that way about the needs before I go to prayer. I can say, Lord, Holy Spirit, I want to take this to God. Is this right? Holy Spirit, is this a need or is this a want? Is this how I should take it? God, I'm not even sure what to ask for. Would you help me? How do you ask God to, God, I need property to build a church building and I ain't got no money? Now what, Lord? I don't even know where to go look for property. Then we found a piece of property. We had $1.98 in the checking account. I had people telling me, don't buy property till you have a builder and an architect and plans. There's no sense in, well, I can't get built, can't get all that till I got a piece of property, put a building. So I went by faith, and we raised enough money to put down on the property and bought the property. And then Shazam, God gave us some more money. So we hired somebody to start with the architecture portion and engineering. And engineering, and engineering, and more engineering, and more engineering, and more engineering. And we kept the process going, but it was, okay, Lord. Yeah, I walked on that property first. I saw the 254,376 plastic pots laying everywhere. I saw trees everywhere. I had to look at this thing and say, okay, how in the world could we put a church out here? Where could we put it? How's this going to work? I had, many of you had been out there and said, you're going to put a church out here? Yeah, we're going to put a church out here. How are you going to do that? Just hang on, you'll see. God had to put a little vision in there. And just as the Holy Spirit works in agreement with the lost person to get saved, he works with us as we figure out what we should ask in prayer. Psalm 37, verse number 4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Now watch this. Key there is delight thyself also in the Lord. That's the Holy Spirit. When he and I are in delight with one another, then my desires have changed, and he'll give me the desires that he wants me to have. It's not, I desire a brand new 2019 Ford F-150 4x4, four-door Super King. How about a 2001 F-150 XLT 4x4 with 131,000 miles on it? Okay, that'll do. It's not brand new, it's new to me. It's doing what I need it to do. Others have nicer trucks. I'm glad. This is the one God gave me. I'm happy with it. You see, I have to be on the same page of agreement with the Holy Spirit before I go to God, because otherwise it's my selfish desires. This is the Holy Spirit interceding with us before we go to the Father. Now, point number two. The Holy Spirit intercedes for us for things which we know not to ask. Then he goes to God. Let's say, God, I need a truck. I don't care if it's an 01, 02, 03. Just make sure it's a Ford, not Toyota. But maybe there's something I didn't know I was supposed to ask for. Matter of fact, when I looked for my truck, I wasn't looking for a 4x4. I really wasn't. I said, Lord, I just need a regular truck. I don't care if it's four-wheel drive or not. Two-wheel drive I had all these years. Never had four-wheel drive before. Don't need it. Haven't got stuck. No big deal. So when I got there, this one was 4x4. So I went back to the Lord. Holy Spirit says, I want you to have it. I talked to my wife. Talked to the Lord. Talked to my dad. I talked to another person that I talked to about vehicles, and everybody was in agreement. So I went back and told the fellas, is this the best you can do? And I got it. Now, it's not the most beautiful truck you've ever seen in your life, but I'm happy with it. I've carted preachers around in it. I've picked up bus kids in it. I've hauled manure in it. You name it, there's deer blood everywhere in that thing. There's been turkey blood in it. We've baptized that thing. Well, there's been no turkey blood yet in it. Sorry. Better not overspeak there. There will be in just a couple months. Now, wait a minute. But the Lord then interceded and gave me something I did not ask for that he wanted me to have. That's the intercession in verse number 27, where he goes to God and asks for things that we don't even know. He'll speak on our behalf to God. Let me show you what I mean here. This means the Holy Spirit goes to God on our behalf about things we forgot to ask or for which things we didn't even know we should ask. We might think we need all sunshine, and God says, no, I'm going to send some clouds. We think we need good health, and God says, I'm going to send you some bad health for a while. We think we need tranquility, and God's going to send some stress, some untranquil waters. You say, well, I want peace. Peace is a result of war. You want tranquility. You don't want peace. You don't want to fight to get it. You just want to have peace, tranquility, smoothness. Sometimes God's going to rock your stinking boat. Yeah, buddy. But that's what Romans 8:28 is all about. And we know that all things work together for good. For whom? To them who love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose or will. Did you know if you pray outside the will of God, you're probably not going to get it? Now, don't get mad at me when I say this. Brother Barnes was with me. He knows this is true. Joyce's mom, a week ago Saturday, we were there just hours before she passed. And there was a couple of them that are a little bit wound up. Don't take this the wrong way, but Joyce's mama was 94 years old, has Alzheimer's, and was in horrible health. I said, folks, have you told her it's okay to go to heaven? It's going to be all right. And one of them said, I'm just not ready to lose her yet. I said, you're not losing her. What are you going to lose? I said, and please don't take that harshly. I said, she's better off going to heaven than she is right here. This isn't how she wants to live. No. I said, okay, then let's let her go. Let's tell God it's all right. Well, we did tell her last night it's okay. I said, good, hold on to that. And remember that when she does go. And this is the process. And I explained exactly what was going to happen. And it did. Seen it over and over and over and over and over again. You say, what was that? You see, it's kind of like, and I've used the illustration before, it's like biscuits. How many of y'all like biscuits? All right. You like biscuits, but if I brought all the ingredients for biscuits up here and said, here, Brother Randy, eat a cup full of flour. That's not real good. Then here's a tablespoon of salt. Suck it down. And then here's a half a teaspoon of baking soda. And here's a cup of buttermilk. Oh, gag. Now, and here's a stick of butter. Chew on that for a while. You say, none of those things by themselves taste good, but you mix it all together in the right proportion, put the right heat to it, and we all like them biscuits. In other words, you may not like all the individual ingredients of your prayer life, but when God puts it all together, the biscuits are worth eating. Too many of you want the biscuits without the ingredients. You want those wampum ones. You know, you peel the can open and wampum and they come out. You don't want to go through the process of the ingredients. Can I tell you something? That's prayer. There's no wampum prayer. You can't peel the can back and whack it on the edge of the counter and get your answers to prayer. That's when I say God's not the genie in the bottle. You rub the bottle and he comes out and says, let me give you whatever you want. Now, as we pray, by the way, as we pray, there's a Holy Spirit there to help us to learn how to ask what he wants us to have. When I went on staff for Brother Hiles, I was 29 years old. I was a kid. I had worked in two churches, both of them running over 1,000. I am now assistant pastor in the world's largest church. Scared out of my gourd. I'm about to go sit in a Saturday night men's staff meeting with 11 or 12 other men and Brother Hiles, and it's, you know, the inner sanctum kind of thing. I'm 29 years old. I'm a nobody getting ready to walk through that door, and my knees are just, I mean, I've never been that nervous before in my life. And I decided I wasn't asking any questions. Sit there, keep your mouth shut, and listen. Don't say a word. Say why? Because you can't get in trouble if you say nothing. I went in. Brother Hiles greeted everybody, introduced me. He explained how things worked. We started going around the room. He got to me. Any questions, Craig? I didn't even say no, sir. He said, Craig, how old are you? I said, I'm 29. He said, yeah, all right, so are the rest of us. I said, no, I'm 29 years old. He said, you are not. I said, yes, I am. He said, let me see your driver's license. I pulled my wallet out and showed him my driver's license. He said, you are 29. I said, I told you I was. He said, man, he said, you're just a kid. I said, yes, sir. You hired me. He said, well, maybe I made a mistake. I said, maybe you did. I don't know. He threw my license back. That's the only thing I said the whole meeting that night. Well, after a few weeks of that, it came time that I was supposed to, I needed to ask some questions. I went to somebody that had been on staff, and I had sat in that meeting long enough to know which men knew how to ask questions and which men, they asked questions, but it wasn't the best way to ask questions. They could get Brother Hiles confused, and then they'd get him mad, and then he'd have a hard time following what they were saying, thinking, okay, I don't want to be like that. I'd like to be like the one that asks questions, and there's no problems. So I had two or three questions I needed to ask, and I went to that other staff person and said, here's what I need. Can you read through my questions word for word and make sure this is worded right? You seem to know how to ask Brother Hiles questions and not get beat the snot out of you. And that man looked through my notes, and he helped me reword it a little bit. He said, I think I know what you're saying here, but I don't think Brother Hiles is going to follow that. How about, and he gave me some advice, and the first few times I started asking questions, I ran it by somebody else, so I kept my skin. Before too long, I learned how to ask those questions. Never did get in trouble. Now watch this. That's kind of like what the Holy Spirit's for. When I went to that other staff man and said, how do I ask this? He said, well, let me intercede for you. This is how I would ask him. Then I took those questions and talked to the preacher. And one time I asked a question, Brother Hiles didn't quite get it. And I looked at that person I got looked to help for, and they stepped up and said, I think Brother Bush means this, preacher. Oh, yeah, that's okay. That was intercession at a different level. Then he went to the Father asking what I did not know how to ask. Y'all catch that? It's exactly the way it is with the Holy Spirit. And it's a great way to pray, because there are times you don't even know what to pray. So we ask the Holy Spirit to help us figure out what we're even to pray about. Then we go to the Father. Then he intercedes with us there as well. He intercedes here. He intercedes there. That's why body, soul, spirit, spirit with the Spirit, we go through the Son to the Father. We have access to the Father by the Son, by the blood of Jesus Christ, who gives us access to the throne as our high priest. Therefore, we don't have to go through anybody else. But the Holy Spirit's there to be your partner in prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. I realize it was a little bit complex tonight. I realize that's a little bit deeper than average, but I think it was put in a way we can understand.